Now, the rest of the story. Bill was 12, going on 25. A streetwise youngster headed for trouble. Among his playmates, he'd always been the one to lead the rest astray. Now, with or without the others, he initiated every imaginable mischief. He was rarely, if ever, reprimanded at home, because at home nobody seemed to care about his misbehavior, and thus, in an atmosphere of ostensible amorality, did Bill approach adolescence, willful, obstreperous, utterly careless of right and wrong. And one thing more, he was deeply, completely unhappy. This is the rest of the story. Roaming the streets after school one day, Bill happened to notice a man and a woman who were watching him carefully. They made no attempt to get his attention. They simply watched him. And at one point, the woman clutched the man's arm, apparently distressed or amazed about something. And then once more, they stood in silence as the boy, looking over his shoulder every few moments, walked off down the avenue. Over the days that followed, Bill frequently saw the couple at a distance, as though now that they knew he was likely to be found, they hoped to find him often again. At last, one afternoon, they stopped him, and they spoke to him, and they explained. They said that Bill was a lookalike, an almost twin for another little boy whom the lady and gentleman loved very dearly, a child who had not long previous passed away, their own son. And as the man related this, his wife's eyes filled with tears, and Bill felt moved as never before. For the first time in his young life, he had tasted compassion. The couple went on to say they were Christians and that therefore they knew they would see their little boy again one day in heaven. But for the time being, it seemed so much as though Bill had been sent to them by God as a sign, as a promise of the eventual reunion, as a gesture of comfort and joy. Well, Bill wanted to believe them, that any God could care so much about people that he'd get them together for the sake of their mutual happiness. But it seemed unlikely, probably because Bill's folks had never talked about God or about religion of any kind, and that made it all the more fascinating. When the couple invited the little boy to their house and treated him affectionately and shared with him their own trust and knowledge of God, it began to make an impression on the lad. And later, with the grudging permission of Bill's father, the lady and gentleman took Bill to their Methodist chapel. And gradually, as the grief ebbed from the lives of Bill's new friends, so did the void in his own life begin to fill to overflowing. I was a stranger and you took me in. And thus was the discovery of a small boy, a little look-alike boy in a Nottingham street in 1841. Thus was that incident the first building stone in a shining Christian edifice that today towers over the entire world. For it was then and there that a young ruffian was introduced to his destiny by an example of how God's comfort and joy can reach into the loneliest hearts. For little Bill was William Booth, and the glorious triumph that sprang unexpectedly from his misguided youth, the culmination of his eventual Christian commitment, was the worldwide organization he founded, the Salvation Army. And now you know the rest of the story.